welcome to The Glider Show. This is an audio podcast about learning to fly gliders. I'm your host, Sam, and I'd like to invite you to join me on my journey from uncoordinated, wing-waggling numpty to graceful solo glider pilot. Well, that's the idea anyway. Given my progress in the last couple of weeks, this process might take quite some time. But first of all, on to brighter things. And in the news, I'm pleased to be able to tell you that The Glider Show, I've submitted it to iTunes. I've no idea what the state of play is with that, but with a bit of luck, we might find The Glider Show appearing in the iTunes podcast shop window, which would be brilliant. Also, in the last couple of weeks, we've got links to this show added to the Dartmoor Gliding Society website and blog. So thank you very much to Steve Lewis at DGS. I'm pleased to say we had over 200 listeners to show number 2 in the first 7 days after publishing it. Also in the news, the club one-day course started up at Dartmoor Gliding Society. It's a great idea to concentrate learning onto particular days of the week for particular trainees. If you book for a club one-day course, you get to have an entire day with a pupil-to-instructor ratio of 2-1. So guaranteed to learn a lot on those days, and it's been running for a couple of weeks now, and so far appears to be a great success. On a lighter note, I had the pleasure of discovering something I never knew about gliding. I don't know how to put this really. It's called glider plumbing. Basically, when you're up in the air for a long period of time, you've got to go for a pee sometime. And obviously, you don't want to spoil your long-distance flight or a nice day riding thermals to come back to Earth and rush off to the little boy's room or little girl's room. If there's a need for it, there's a product for it. And it's tastefully listed on the British Gliding Association website shop as glider plumbing. And the thing that really made me smile in true schoolboy fashion was the printable size chart featuring 5 different sizes. And if I recall correctly, it went from extra large to large, to intermediate, to medium, and then small. And so on to show number 3, and in our on-the-ground section this time, I'll be finding out what it's like to arrive at the club early, ferry visitors around, and spend an entire day on the airfield. In the air, it's a game of two halves. In the first weekend, I get introduced to the joy of landing for the first time, and come away smiling confidently, thinking, wow, that's easy. In the second weekend, I'll be struggling with crosswind landings and end up wondering if I'm going backwards. And also, with the help of a captive instructor, I'll be making sense of what local pilots mean when they talk about wave. Ah, frozen. Oh, well, it's a heavenly host of angels. Hang on. It's Sunday and it's freezing cold, and I'm going to start the engine, hopefully. Frost on the windows, the first I've seen this winter. So this is really early, and I'm feeling very dedicated to gliding at the moment. So I've been up since an ungodly hour for me on the weekend. So I got lucky again, because look, judging by what I can see out the window, it's a beautiful, clear, crisp day, and the weather forecast has today as the only dry day of the week, which is pretty an amazing chance. So I've had my coffee, I've muttered about getting up too early, I'm dressed in my best thermals, jeans and sweater, and I've got my hat and gloves and to try and keep me warm, so let's see how today pans out, but I'm hoping for a good day's flying. Oh. I like interesting sounds.
Do you? Yeah. So what is the most interesting function you have so far?
Things like this. When I came in here this morning, this is the water hitting the gliders and also on the roof.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
Yep. 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 Yep
Have to run.
No.
I think we're also going to do a retrieve job as we go. So,
oh, right.
Maybe a slow.
That's okay. Right.
I'll retrieve as well. I'll take the K8. Yes. But it'll be a slow trip.
It'd be nice to have one of these as well.
Is that better?
Oh, yes. So you always try and land here as well, I take it, do you?
Ideally, land closer to the takeoff point. So you don't want a huge, long retrieve.
Right.
So this may be a slow journey, folks.
Okay.
It's all right.
I'm getting very nervous.
It'd be best if you drive down the track and I'll stay slightly off it. Right?
Yep, that's fine.
Thanks. Okay, I'll get the
road. I'll just pull in front. If you see that chap start running really quickly, just tell me.
When he jumps on for a ride.
I had it on camera still. It's been taking photos the inside of my pocket.
I'm taking the
skip you go in that one. It's much better.
I think the blue one's taken up today with the two of us on a one day course thing. So I think be in the white one. Right, I think I'll just stop there.
Okay.
Go into the hedge.
Right, thanks. Here we go. Well, off.
Whoa.
Whoa, there he goes.
Ooh, just like that.
That was great.
Yeah. It's come across an interesting spectacle here on the airfield.
There's a
scarecrow standing in the field.
You mustn't do things like that on your blog.
I've got look at your feet though. I
would swear by them as a motorcyclist. Carrier bags inside boots, best thing on earth.
That's how I get some of my boots on, actually.
So this last Sunday turned out to be a long day on the ground with plenty of time in the air. It was a strange day with a number of errors and mistakes that happened along the way. It began with a cable break, continued with a bit of double booking on the one-day course, and there was one incident where I got to see something about how easy it is to slip into autopilot at the wrong moment. What happened was I was the person holding the wing about to launch the K-13, and I'd just given the take-up slack order, and a visitor to the club from another club was doing the launch radio roll. I think I'd shouted cable live as the cable began to move, and without waiting for the cable to be drawn tight, she shouted all out, all out, all out, jumping the gun a little bit. And of course, what happened was that the winch fired off at a rate of knots and then took up all of that slack that was still in the cable with a great almighty tug, pulled the cable off the glider, and the parachute went barreling off down the airfield. What I learned from this is that it's easy to slip into the routine of the things we expect to happen instead of being conscious and aware of the things that are actually happening. Thankfully, there was no major damage and nobody came to any harm. Now, another lesson I learned on that weekend was it doesn't matter how many times you watch planes landing in crosswinds on YouTube, it's still nothing like finding yourself actually in that situation. And that's really the difference between the two weekends of flying for me. The first one, perfectly still air, beautiful flying conditions from a novice's point of view. Second one, got a crosswind, and I really struggled with that. Now, I've been in the air quite a bit over the last 2 weeks with a total of 6 flights with 2 different instructors. And the first weekend, flying with Chief Flying Instructor Don, I learned the hard way about keeping the wings level after landing.
So, canopy down.
Canopy down. And locked.
And push up on the frame itself, not the perspex.
And resisting up with pressure.
It's resisting up with pressure, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Brakes, air brakes.
Yeah.
So, yes. All the way out?
Yeah. them all the way out, check both sides. They need to be broadly symmetrical. You can take them in about halfway and have another look. So it should be about the same. Then flush, and then firmly locked. You should feel that geometric over centre lock.
Okay, eventualities.
My responsibility on this flight, if we have a launch failure, we'll achieve 55 knots minimum safe manoeuvring speed. If we can land ahead, we're going to do so. If we can't land ahead safely, we're going to turn to the left, get the field back in view, and we'll see the situation from there. So now you can give the command to attach the cable. So you do that.
Cable on, please.
And then when he says open this cordon race.
Open.
Yep.
Not far. No, pull it harder.
Okay. Sorry, my mistake. Thank you.
Yeah, it's got a. It's got a. Sort of feels like a double spring. Okay, so. Just for your interest, if please follow through on the launch, not a problem.
Okay.
I'm going to be keeping the wings level with the aileron, balancing it on its main wheel with the elevator, steering as I need to with the rudder. Okay. Once the aircraft's taken off, I'll use the controls in the normal harmonised flight way. But on the ground, when the wheel's on the ground, I'll use the stick and the rudder independently of each other. Okay. Cable's live. I've got my left hand on release, so...
Okay.
If the wind goes down and touches the ground despite the application of aileron, I'll pull the wrist. Here we go. Just balancing on the wheel, gathers enough speed to take off, eases it up into a climb. Pulling the right wing down. Speed's coming back into the Brett range. It was a little bit high, but it didn't matter too much. Climb angle's about right, speed's about right. Stick's now actually quite a long way back. Getting near the top of the launch, I suspect. Lowering the nose. I'm just going to trim the glider here. We're now trimmed. I've got my hand off the stick. Okay, so you have control. Let's just get you to practice a couple of turns to start with. Just take me to the right to start with. And then a turn to the left. Yeah, good, pleased to see you looking out. And then roll the wings up. Great. Now I'm going to get you to make a 180 degree turn to the right, and we're going to actually join our circuit. We're going to fly around the circuit, see how we get on with that. We'll turn to the right. The field's appearing on your right, you start to roll the wings level. Now you check your speed again. And now make a turn to the right, the field should be in front of you somewhere. Reduce the bank to widen that turn a little. Keep the speed. And then turn and point up the field. Level the wings. And we aim to, I've got the air brake lever, we aim to fly parallel. No, don't chase it, chasing it now. Go to the right, turn to the right, small amount. Let the heading change, that's fine. So you're going across at an angle, and then back to the left again.
Okay.
Keeping the speed. Now I'm going to get you to look up the field and keep it off the ground. Go on. Nice and gently, off the ground. Now keep the wings level by looking ahead.
Okay.
Whatever aileron movement you need. And,
What was great about this flight, though, was that for the first time I had control throughout the circuit and in the landing itself. As is the custom, the pupil isn't told in advance this is going to happen, meaning that they don't have time to panic about it and get all worried and worked up. I came away thinking to myself, I can do this landing thing. When really I should have said, I can do this landing thing in perfectly still air.
So
glider naturally rotates itself. No, no, slightly ease there. Okay, you ready? Jordan, yep. Have control. Keep that kind of wingtip angle to the horizon. Checking the speed. Speed's still good. Yeah, speed's a bit fast, so release now then. Right, okay. Good, right. Again then, you need to trim.
So I want...
So normally we want to fly around about 45 knots or just slightly less perhaps even.
Okay, feels good to me.
Sorry?
Feels good now?
Yeah, good, right. It's okay. Okay, let's do some turns then, just to get your turn coordination back in. So, when you like, do a turn to the right, perhaps. Yeah, so keep going all the way around, do a full circle. So notice the nose is dropping, so now you need to apply backward pressure to stop that nose dropping.
Okay.
Right, I think on this one, what we're going to do, we're going to do a nice long approach. So we'll start our downwind leg from here.
Okay.
Here, and we're going to go much further out, because we've got loads of height at the moment. Now remember, every time you move that stick sideways, you need to use a bit of rudder. So for the moment, we're drifting in towards the field, aren't we? So pick something on the horizon, one of the tours on the moors up there somewhere, the one to the left of the area.
Yeah.
Try and keep flying towards that. So remember, stick and rudder together.
I know, it's just not working for me.
A little bit further to the left you want to go, really.
Okay.
That's fine there.
Good.
Yeah. Okay. Just keep trying flying towards that. Give it a look out from time to time, make sure that everything's clear.
Waggling away.
Yeah.
So if I try and straighten up there, I get... Okay, right.
Your rudder and aileron movements are out of sync.
I know.
This is why you need to do them exactly in time. Okay.
Okay. So I'm heading towards that spot, but I'm not really flying straight because my rudder's out.
Yeah. Okay. We are now, aren't you?
Okay.
Okay. So now every time you move that rudder, you need to just move the ailerons. You need to move a bit of rudder. Okay, let's go around on a diagonal from here. So that's enough there, now straighten up. Just fly slightly to the left of that bonfire in the distance.
Okay.
Okay, have a look down at the landing area. See where that is. Now just do a small base leg, so just round a bit, 45 degrees again round to the right. And level the wings, get the wings level. I have control. Wings level. That's wings level.
Sorry.
Like that. Okay. Now base leg. No,
okay.
Now turn. Final turn. Okay. Get the wings lined up. Right. Now get the wings level. Okay. I'm going to use the air brakes now.
Okay.
Maintain that speed. Okay, I have control.
Okay.
Right, okay, you have control. Okay. So just steer.
Okay.
Sorry, I just needed to just correct that,
that little
bit there. But no, that was actually much better. You've still got this tendency, and I'm sure it's the crosswind, of crabbing coming in. Because the crosswind is making me think you need to do that.
Yeah.
What you actually need to do is just point the glider further to the left.
Mm-hmm.
So that our ground track is lined up with the field.
So I should be comfortably pointing away and trusting that I'm going down the centre line.
Yes.
And yeah. What I'm trying to do is straighten it in the crosswind, which is never going to work, is it?
No.
Okay.
So with six flights in the last two Sundays, there's been a lot to try to make sense of. So what are the key things that stood out for me? The first one, I think, is don't try to land the aircraft, try to keep it flying. On my first landing, I could see myself pointing the aircraft at the ground and trying to land. But if I was honest about my intention, it was, I'm going to go down to this point and round out because I want to land. And there's a temptation when you round out to put the nose down again to try and get to the ground. And the secret of a smooth landing, one of the secrets, is to round out, hold the stick back and keep the aircraft flying until it won't fly anymore. The other thing I learned, as I mentioned earlier, is landing in a crosswind. I was surprised how difficult I found this. I seemed to be trying to point the nose of the aircraft in a direct line down the runway. And of course, it wasn't going to happen like that because when you have a crosswind, you have to come in a slightly crabbed attitude. So a little bit off the center line with your nose pointing towards the direction the wind's coming from. I found myself just getting very squirmy just above the ground. And two or three times, Dave cut in and took over control of that part because I was making a right pig's ear out of it. Something else I made sense of this time was that the slower you are, the less effect the control surfaces have. Now, that's why the instructor seems to make all those huge, big stick movements on takeoff. Now, a bonus lesson I learned this week was when you've got an instructor captive, i.e. locked in the cockpit with you, with the canopy down, make use of them. So this is a legendary wave lift. How does that happen around here?
Well, you need it in an easterly, so if you can picture a wind coming over the moors in an easterly direction, it kind of rises up over the east edge of the moors, no problem, doesn't do an awful lot. When it comes to the west edge of the moor, where it drops back down, if you've got the right kind of stability conditions, as the air surface level kind of drops down the slope, the whole of the atmosphere kind of comes down with it. So the air vertically above all drops a bit, and then it all bounces back up again.
Okay.
And it all drops, and you get this standing wave setting
right,
up.
Right.
A bit like ripples in a stream, just downstream of a rock.
Right. That's a good analogy.
Yeah, it's a stationary wave, so if you pick the bit of the air that's going up, it carries on going up for heights much greater than the height of Dartmoor. So, you can go up sort of 10,000 plus feet.
Right.
Although Dartmoor's only probably 1,000 feet above everything else, perhaps.
I'll just go find what's going on.
So you will find, as soon as there's an easterly forecast, you'll get a lot more people coming out of the woodwork to come flying.
And they'll all be down that end.
Yes, yeah.
Mm. And sort of what sort of length of time does it hang around for? Is it kind of standard lengths or is it variable?
Well, like all these things, it's variable. It can just suddenly collapse at a moment's notice sometimes. Sometimes it can be there all day.
It's well and truly stuck in the mud up there, all going up.
Okay.
Try and lift it out.
Okay, good luck. I'll stay here. Yeah, there have been days when it's been there for the full day. Sometimes it just stays there for a bit. And then it can be... It seems like it's a very easily disrupted. So in the summer, any thermal activity will tend to kill the wave, so it might be waving in the morning, and then by 10, 11 o'clock, as the thermal activity gets going, it kills it. Okay.
It concludes a long day. Just in time to open the gate for somebody to go. All told, this is probably the longest single day I've spent at the club. 8:30 till about 5. So a long, long day. Pretty muddy. Fairly cold. Done 4 flights. Short ones, of course. And some pretty ropey landings. It's one of those things. keep coming away from this thinking, maybe I'm a fair weather glider pilot. I'm not sure. I'm not sure about this. Standing in the mud in the freezing cold all day. So I'm also sure that many a pilot or a trainee pilot has experienced similar thoughts about, you know, is it all worth it? So I won't be the first, and I'm sure I'm not going to be the last.
So this time around, we've got a new section in the podcast called Comms. And pleased to say, we've got the first few comments come in over the last couple of weeks. We've been contacted on the @UKGlider Twitter ID, Hangarats. And these are a group of people in the US making an aviation reality show. And they were keen to think about possible ways that our two shows could work together. I had an email from Richard Williamson, a Dartmoor Gliding Society member, also studying for a private pilot's license. I think there's a real possibility of some interesting conversations that we could have with Richard about the difference between powered flight and flying without an engine. I had an email from Richard Clark, says, "Hi Sam, I listened to the podcast last night and I must say they're fantastic. Great to hear such enthusiasm for the sport. Best regards." So thank you, Richard. I also had an email from Rick, responding to something I'd mentioned in a previous show about Condor, the gliding simulator. And Rick offers a couple of very useful tips about Condor. He says, if you press the plus key on the keyboard, the view in the cockpit will zoom in, and that will help the instrument panel to become much clearer. And that's a really good point, because sitting in that simulator a couple of weeks ago, couldn't read the height very well. So that's a really useful tip. Thank you for that, Rick. So that's all for episode 3 of The Glider Show. This is a brand new podcast, so there's plenty of room for improvement, and that's where you come in. If you'd like to share your experiences or comment on anything you've heard in the shows so far, then please get in touch. If you've got a smartphone or a PC, then you're a couple of clicks away from taking part in the Glider Show yourself. There are several ways you can do this. So, for example, you can send me an email to ukglider@hotmail.com. You can tweet me @ukglider, or you could even record an email in MP3 audio file that I can play in a subsequent show. Meantime, thank you for taking the time to listen to the Glider Show this week. And don't forget, if you click on the subscribe to the show via iTunes button at the top right-hand side of the website, you can get every new episode downloaded automatically to your phone or PC. That's pretty handy. You won't have to do anything. It'll just turn up whenever I release one. To do that, you will need to have iTunes somewhere on your computer. iTunes is free and takes a few minutes to set up. But once you've done that, it gives you access to a whole world of podcasts full of interesting subjects, most of which are free. A great source of information, learning, and entertainment. Thank you again for taking the time to support the podcast by emailing with feedback and suggestions. I'm Sam Diggs, and until next time, fly safe.